The sign on the wall proposed a greater danger even than its deadline. To foresee the future is of the Voidbringers.
From the Journal of Navani Kolin, Yesesis, 1174. The crier carried a writ with the king's words on it, bound between two cloth-covered boards, though she obviously had the words memorized. Not surprising, Kaladin alone had made her repeat the proclamation 3 times.
Again.
Kaladin was sitting on his stone beside Bridge 4's fire pit. Many members of the crew had lowered their breakfast bowls, going silent. Nearby, Sigzil repeated the words to himself, memorizing them.
Ugh!
She was a plump, light-eyed young woman with strands of red hair mixed in her black, bespeaking Vaden or Horn-Eater heritage. There would be dozens of women like her moving through the war camp to read and sometimes explain Dalinar's words.
Under the authority of the king, Dalinar Kolin, High Prince of War, hereby orders changes to the manner of collection and distribution of gem hearts on the Shattered Plains. Henceforth, each gem heart will be collected in turn by 2 high princes working in tandem. The spoils become the property of the king, who will determine, based on the effectiveness of the parties involved and their alacrity to obey, their share. A prescribed rotation will detail which high princes and armies are responsible for hunting gem hearts and in what order. The pairings will not always be the same and will be judged based on strategic compatibility. It is expected that by the codes we all hold dear, the men and women of these armies will welcome this renewed focus on victory and, at long last, vengeance.
The crier snapped the book closed, looking up at Kaladin and cocking a long black eyebrow he was pretty sure had been painted on with makeup.
Thank you.
The crier nodded to him, then moved off toward the next battalion square. Kaladin climbed to his feet.
Well, there's the storm we've been expecting.
The men nodded. Conversation at Bridge 4 had been subdued following the strange break-in at Dalinar's quarters yesterday. Kaladin felt a fool. Dalinar, however, seemed to be ignoring the break-in entirely. He knew far more than he was telling Kaladin.
How am I supposed to do my job if I don't have the information I need?
The High Princes are going to hate this proclamation.
Layton was working on Beld's breastplate straps, which had come from the quartermaster with the buckles twisted about.
They base pretty much everything on getting those gem hearts. We're going to have discontent aplenty on today's winds.
Discontent? Today this will mean riots. Did you not hear that mention of the codes? This thing? It is an insult against the others, whom we know do not follow their oaths.
Moash Drahi, Martin Eth, with me. We've got to go relieve Scar and his team. Teft, how goes your assignment?
Slowly. Those kids and the other bridge crews, yeah, they have a long way to go. We need something more, Cal. Some way to inspire them.
I'll work on it. For now, we should try food. Rock, we've only got 5 officers at the moment, so you can have that last room on the outside for storage. Kalin gave us requisition rights from the camp quartermaster. Pack it full.
Full? How full?
Very. We've been eating broth and stew with soulcast grain for months. For the next month, Bridge 4 eats like kings.
Ah, no shells now.
Mark pointed at Rock as he gathered his spear and did up his uniform jacket.
Just because you can fix anything you want, it doesn't mean we're gonna eat something stupid.
Air-sick lowlanders. Don't you want to be strong?
I want to keep my teeth, thank you.
Crazy horn heater.
I will fix 2 things. One for the brave, and 1 for the silly. You may choose between these things.
You'll make feasts, Rock. I need you to train cooks for the other barracks. Even if Dalinar has extra cooks to spare now with fewer regular troops to feed, I want the bridgemen to be self-sufficient. Lopin, I'm assigning Dabit and Shen to help you assist Rock from here on out. We need to turn those 1,000 men into soldiers. It starts the same way it did with all of you, by filling their stomachs.
It will be done.
Rock slapped Shen on the shoulder as the Parsh man stepped up for seconds. He'd only just started doing things like that, and seemed to hide in the back less than he once had.
I will not even put any dung in it.
Putting dung in food was what had gotten Rock turned into a bridge man in the first place. As Kaladin started out toward the king's palace, Dalinar had an important meeting with the king today. Sigsel joined him.
A moment of your time, sir.
If you wish.
You promised me that I could have a chance to measure your particular abilities.
Promised? I don't remember a promise.
You grunted.
I grunted?
When I talked about taking some measurements, you seemed to think it was a good idea, and you told Scar we could help you figure out your powers.
I suppose I did.
We need to know exactly what you can do, sir. The extent of the abilities, the length of time the Stormlight remains in you. Do you agree that having a clear understanding of your limits would be valuable?
Yes.
Excellent. Then
give me a couple of days. Go prepare a place where we can't be seen, then yes, all right. I'll let you measure me.
Excellent. I've been devising some experiments.
Sigsel stopped on the path, allowing Kaladin and the others to draw away from him. Kaladin rested his spear on his shoulder and relaxed his hand. He frequently found his grip on the weapon too strong, his knuckles white. It was like part of him still didn't believe he could carry it in public now and feared it would be taken from him again. Syl floated down from her daily sprint around the camp on the morning winds. She alighted on his shoulder and sat, seeming lost in thought. Dalinar's war camp was an organized place. Soldiers never lounged lazily here. They were always doing something, working on their weapons, fetching food, carrying cargo, patrolling. Men patrolled a lot in this camp. Even with the reduced army numbers, Kaladin passed 3 patrols as his men marched toward the gates. That was 3 more than he'd ever seen in Sadeus's camp. He was reminded again of the emptiness. The dead didn't need to become void bringers to haunt this camp. The empty barracks did. He passed one woman seated on the ground beside one of those hollow barracks, staring up at the sky and clutching a bundle of masculine clothing. 2 small children stood on the path beside her.
Too silent. Children that small shouldn't be quiet.
The barracks formed blocks in an enormous ring, and in the center of them was a more populated part of camp. The bustling section that contained Dalinar's living complex, along with the quarters of the various High Lords and Generals. Dalinar's complex was a mound-like stone bunker with fluttering banners and scuttling clerks carrying armfuls of ledgers. Nearby, several officers had set up recruitment tents, and a long line of would-be soldiers had formed. Some were sellswords, who had made their way to the shattered plain seeking work. Others were bakers or the like, who had heeded the cry for more soldiers following the disaster.
Why didn't you laugh?
Syl inspected the line as Kaladin hiked around it, on toward the gates out of the war camp.
I'm sorry. Did you do something funny that I didn't see?
I mean earlier. Rock and the others laughed. You didn't. When you laughed during the weeks that were hard, I knew that you were forcing yourself to. I thought maybe once things got better...
I've got an entire battalion of bridgemen to keep track of now. And a high prince to keep alive. I'm in the middle of a camp full of widows. I guess I don't feel like laughing.
But things are better. For you and your men. Think of what you did, what you accomplished.
I guess I'm just waiting.
For what?
The thunder. It always follows after the lightning. Sometimes you have to wait. But eventually it comes.
Syl zipped up in front of him, standing in the air, moving backward as he walked. She didn't fly. She didn't have wings, and didn't bob in the air. She just stood there, on nothing, and moved in unison with him. She seemed to take no notice of normal physical laws.
I don't understand what you mean. Ugh, brat! Thought I was figuring this all out. Storms? Lightning?
You know how when you encouraged me to fight to save Dalinar, it still hurt you when I killed?
Yes.
It's like that. Something bad is going to happen. Things can't just continue to be good for me. That's not how life is. It might have to do with those glyphs on Dalinar's wall yesterday. They seemed like a countdown. Have you ever seen anything like that before?
I remember something. Something bad. Seeing what is to come.
It isn't of honor, Kaladin. It's something else. Something dangerous.
Wonderful.
When he said nothing more, Syl zipped into the air, becoming a ribbon of light. She followed him up there, moving between gusts of wind.
She said that she's honor's friend, so why does she still keep up the act of playing with the winds?
He'd have to ask her, assuming she'd answer him.
Assuming she even knows the answer.
Toril Sadius laced his fingers before himself, elbows on the fine stonework tabletop, as he stared at the shard blade he'd thrust down through the center of the table. It reflected his face.
Damnation. When did I get old?
He imagined himself as a young man in his 20s.
Now I'm 50. Storming 50.
He set his jaw looking at that blade. Oathbringer. It was Dalinar's shard blade, curved like a back arching, with a hook-like tip on the end, matched by a sequence of jutting serrations by the crossguard, like waves in motion peeking up from the ocean below. How often he had lusted for this weapon. Now it was his, but he found the possession hollow. Dalinar Kolin, driven mad by grief, broken to the point that battle frightened him, still clung to life. Sadius's old friend was like a favored axe hound he'd been forced to put down, only to find it whimpering at the window, the poison having not quite done its work. Worse, he couldn't shake the feeling that Dalinar had gotten the better of him somehow. The door to his sitting room opened, and Iele slipped in. With a slender neck and a large mouth, his wife had never been described as a beauty, particularly as the years stretched long. He didn't care. Iele was the most dangerous woman he knew. That was more attractive than any simple pretty face.
You've destroyed my table, I see.
She flopped down onto the small couch beside him, draped one arm across his back, and put her feet up on the table. While with others she was the perfect Alethi woman, in private, she preferred to lounge.
Dalinar is recruiting heavily. I've taken the opportunity to place a few more of my associates among the staff of his war camp.
Soldiers?
What do you take me for? That would be far too obvious. He will have new soldiers under careful watch. However, much of his support staff has holes as men join the call to take up spears and reinforce his army.
Sadius nodded, still staring at that blade. His wife ran the most impressive network of spies in the war camps. Most impressive indeed, since very, very few knew of it.
He released his proclamation.
Yes? Reactions?
As anticipated. The others hate it.
Dalinar should be dead, but since he is not, at least we can depend upon him to hang himself in time by destroying him. I sought to prevent the collapse of the kingdom. Now I'm wondering if that collapse wouldn't be better for us all.
What?
I'm not meant for this, love. This stupid game on the plateaus. It sated me at first, but I'm growing to loathe it. I want war, Iele. Not hours of marching on the off chance that we'll find some little skirmish.
Those little skirmishes bring us wealth.
Which is why I've suffered them so long. I will need to meet with some of the others. Aladar, Ruthar, we need to fan the flames among the High Princes, raise their indignation at what Dalinar attempts.
And our end goal?
I will have it back, Iele, the conquest.
It was the only thing that made him feel alive any longer. That glorious, wonderful thrill of being on the battlefield and striving, man against man, of risking everything for the prize. Domination, victory. It was the only time he felt like a youth again. It was a brutal truth. The best truths, however, were simple. He grabbed Oathbringer by the hilt and yanked it up out of the table.
Dalinar wants to play politician now, which is unsurprising. He has always secretly wanted to be his brother. Fortunately for us, Dalinar is no good at this sort of thing. His proclamation will alienate the others. He will push the High Princes, and they'll take up arms against him, fracturing the kingdom. And then, with blood at my feet and Dalinar's own sword in my hand, I will forge a new Alethkar from flame and tears.
What if, instead, he succeeds?
That my dear, is when your assassins will be of use.
Sadeus dismissed the shard blade. It turned to mist and vanished.
I will conquer this kingdom anew, and then Yar Kaved will follow. After all, the purpose of this life is to train soldiers. In a way, I'm only doing what God himself wants.
The walk between the barracks and the king's palace, which the king had started calling Pinnacle, took an hour or so, which gave Kaladin plenty of time to think. Unfortunately, on his way, he passed a group of Dalinar's surgeons in a field with servants, gathering knobweed sap for an antiseptic. Seeing them made Kaladin think not only of his own efforts gathering the sap, but of his father, Liren.
If he were here, he'd ask why I wasn't out there with the surgeons. He'd demand to know why, if Dalinar had taken me in, I had requested to join his medical corps.
In fact, Kaladin could probably have gotten Dalinar to employ all of Bridge IV as surgeon's assistants. Kaladin could have trained them in medicine almost as easily as he had the spear. Dalinar would have done it. An army could never have too many good surgeons. He hadn't even considered it. The choice for him had been simpler. Either become Dalinar's bodyguards, or leave the war camps.
I've chosen to put my men in the path of the storm again. Why?
Eventually, they reached the king's palace, which was built up the side of a large stone hill with tunnels dug down into the rock. The king's own quarters sat at the very top. That meant lots of climbing for Kaladin and his men. They hiked up the switchbacks, Kaladin still lost in thought about his father and his duty.
That's a tad unfair, you know.
Kaladin looked to the others, realizing that they were puffing from the long climb. Kaladin, however, had drawn in Stormlight without noticing. He wasn't even winded. He smiled pointedly for Syl's benefit and regarded the cavernous hallways of the pinnacle. A few men stood guard at the entrance gates, wearing the blue and gold of the king's guard, a separate and distinct unit from Dalinar's own guard.
Soldier.
Kaladin nodded to one of them, a light eyes of low rank. Militarily, Kaladin outranked a man like this, but not socially. Again, he wasn't certain how all of this was supposed to work. The man looked him up and down.
I heard you held a bridge, practically by yourself, against hundreds of Parshendi. How'd you do that?
He did not address Kaladin with Sir, as would have been appropriate for any other captain.
You want to find out? We can show you. Personally, if you...
Hush. I got lucky. That's it.
I suppose that makes sense.
Kaladin waited.
Sir?
Kaladin waved his men forward, and they passed the light-eyed guards. The interior of the palace was lit by spheres grouped in lamps on the walls. Sapphires and diamonds blended to give a blue-white cast. The spheres were a small but striking reminder of how things had changed. Nobody would have let bridgemen near such casual use of spheres. The pinnacle was still unfamiliar to Kaladin. So far, his time spent guarding Dalinar had mostly been in the war camp. However, he'd made certain to look over maps of the place, so he knew the way to the top.
Why did you cut me off like that?
You were in the wrong. You're a soldier now, Moash. You're going to have to learn to act like one, and that means not provoking fights.
I'm not going to scrape and bow before Light Eyes, Cal. Not anymore.
I don't expect you to scrape, but I do expect you to watch your tongue. Bridge IV is better than petty jibes and threats.
Moash fell back, but Kaladin could tell he was still smoldering.
That's odd.
Syl landed on Kaladin's shoulder again.
You look so angry.
When I took over the bridgemen, they were caged animals who had been beaten into submission. I brought back their fight, but they were still caged. Now the doors are off those cages. It will take time for Moash and the others to adjust. They'll learn to be real soldiers. No, they are real soldiers.
Now they had to learn how to act without Sadeus's oppression to push against. Moash moved up beside him.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Kaladin smiled, this time genuinely.
I'm not going to pretend I don't hate them, but I'll be civil. We have a duty. We'll do it well, better than anyone expects. We're Bridge IV.
Good man.
Moash was going to be particularly tricky to deal with, as more and more Kaladin found himself confiding in the man. Most of the others idolized Kaladin, not Moash, who was as close to a real friend as Kaladin had known since being branded. The hallway grew surprisingly decorative as they approached the king's conference chamber. There was even a series of reliefs being carved on the walls, the heralds, embellished with gemstones on the rock to glow at appropriate locations.
More and more like a city. This might actually be a true palace soon.
He met Scar and his team at the door into the king's conference chambers.
Report?
Quiet morning. And I'm fine with that.
You're relieved for the day, then. I'll stay here for the meeting, then let Moash take the afternoon shift. I'll come back for the evening shift. You and your squad get some sleep. You'll be back on duty tonight, stretching to tomorrow morning.
Got it, sir.
The chamber beyond the doors was decorated with a thick rug and large unshuttered windows on the leeward side. Kaladin had never been in this room, and the palace maps, for the protection of the king, only included the basic hallways and routes through the servants' quarters. This room had one other door, probably out onto the balcony, but no exits other than the one Kaladin stepped through. Two other guards in blue and gold stood on either side of the door. The king himself paced back and forth beside the room's desk. His nose was larger than the paintings of him showed. Dalinar spoke with High Lady Navani, an elegant woman with gray in her hair. The scandalous relationship between the king's uncle and mother would have been the talk of the war camp if Sadius's betrayal hadn't overshadowed it.
Moash, see where that door goes. Martin Eth, stand watch just outside in the hall. Nobody other than a high prince comes in until you've checked with us in here.
Moash gave the king a salute instead of a bow and checked on the door. It indeed led to the balcony that Kaladin had spotted from below. It ran all around this upmost room. Dalinar studied Kaladin and Moash as they worked. Kaladin saluted and met the man's eyes. He wasn't going to fail again, as he'd done the day before.
I don't recognize these guards, Uncle.
They're new, Elikar. There's no other way onto that balcony, soldier. It's 100 feet in the air.
Good to know. Drahi, join Moash out there on the balcony. Close the door and keep watch.
Drahi nodded, jumping into motion.
I just said there's no way to reach that balcony from the outside.
Then that's the way I'd try to get in if I wanted to, sir.
Dalinar smiled in amusement. The king, however, was nodding.
Good. Good.
Are there any other ways into this room, Your Majesty? Secret entrances, passages?
If there were, I wouldn't want people knowing about them.
My men can't keep this room safe if we don't know what to guard. If there are passages nobody is supposed to know about, those are immediately suspect. If you share them with me, I'll use only my officers in guarding them.
The king stared at Kaladin for a moment, then turned to Dalinar.
I like this one. Why haven't you put him in charge of your guard before?
I haven't had the opportunity.
Dalinar studied Kaladin with eyes that had a depth behind them, a weight. He stepped over and rested a hand on Kaladin's shoulder, pulling him aside.
Wait, is that a captain's insignia? On a dark eyes? When did that start happening?
Dalinar didn't answer, instead walking Kaladin to the side of the room.
The king is very worried about assassins. You should know this.
A healthy paranoia makes the job easier for his bodyguards, sir.
I didn't say it was healthy. You call me sir. The common address is Brightlord.
I will use that term if you command, sir. But sir is an appropriate address, even for a light eyes, if he's your direct superior.
I'm a high prince.
Speaking frankly, every man I've ever called Brightlord has betrayed me. A few men I've called sir still have my trust to this day. I use one more reverently than the other. Sir.
You're an odd one, son.
The normal ones are dead in the chasm, sir. Sadius saw to that.
Well, have your men on the balcony guard farther from the side, where they can't hear through the window.
I'll wait with the men in the hall, then.
No, I didn't order that. Guard the doors, but on the inside. I want you to hear what we're planning. Just don't repeat it outside this room.
Yes, sir.
4 more people are coming to the meeting. My sons, General Karl, and Brightness Teshev, Karl's wife. They may enter. Anyone else should be kept back until the meeting is over.
Dalinar went back to a conversation with the king's mother. Kaladin got Moash and Drahi positioned, then explained the door protocol to Mart and Eth. He'd have to do some training later. Light Eyes never truly meant, don't let anyone else in, when they said, don't let anyone else in. What they meant was, if you let anyone else in, I'd better agree that it was important enough, or you're in trouble. Then, Kaladin took his post inside the closed door, standing against a wall with carved paneling made of a rare type of wood he didn't recognize.
It's probably worth more than I've earned in my entire lifetime. One wooden panel.
The High Prince's sons arrived, Adolin and Renarin Colin. Kaladin had seen the former on the battlefield, though he looked different without his shard plate. Less imposing, more like a spoiled rich boy. Oh, he wore a uniform, like everyone else, but the buttons were engraved, and the boots. Those were expensive hogshide ones, without a scuff on them. Brand new, likely bought at ridiculous expense.
He did save that woman in the market. Don't forget about that.
Kaladin wasn't sure what to make of Renarin. The youth, he might have been older than Kaladin, but sure didn't look like it, wore spectacles and walked after his brother like a shadow. Those slender limbs and delicate fingers had never known battle or real work. Syl bobbed around the room, poking into nooks, crannies, and vases. She stopped at a paperweight on the woman's writing desk beside the king's chair, poking at the block of crystal with a strange kind of crab thing trapped inside. Were those wings?
Shouldn't that one wait outside?
Adolin nodded toward Kaladin.
What we're doing is going to put me in direct danger. I want him to know the details. That might be important to his job.
Adolin walked up, taking Dalinar by the arm and speaking in a hushed tone that was not so soft that Kaladin couldn't hear.
We barely know him.
We have to trust some people, Adolin. If there's one person in this army I can guarantee isn't working for Sadeas, it's that soldier.
Dalinar turned and glanced at Kaladin, once again studying him with those unfathomable eyes.
He didn't see me with the stormlight. He was practically unconscious. He doesn't know. Does he?
Adolin threw up his hands, but walked to the other side of the room. Kaladin remained in position, standing comfortably at parade rest.
Yes, definitely spoiled.
The general, who arrived soon after, was a limber, bald man with a straight back and pale yellow eyes. His wife, Teshev, had a pinched face and hair-streaked blonde. She took up position by the writing desk, which Navani had made no move to occupy.
Reports.
I suspect you know what you'll hear, Bright Lord. They're irate. They sincerely hoped you would reconsider the command, and sending it out to the public has provoked them. High Prince Hathem was the only one to make a public announcement. He plans to, and I quote, see that the king is dissuaded from this reckless and ill-advised course.
The king settled into his seat. Renarin sat down immediately, as did the general. Adolin found his seat more reluctantly. Dalinar remained standing, looking out the window.
Uncle, did you hear that reaction? It's a good thing you didn't go so far as you had considered to proclaim that they must follow the codes or face seizure of assets. We'd be in the middle of a rebellion.
That will come. I still wonder if I should have announced it all at once. When you've got an arrow stuck in you, it's sometimes best to just yank it out in one pull.
Storms. What a ghastly image. Do you have to say such things, Uncle? I already fear we'll be dead before the week is out.
Your father and I survived worse than this.
You had allies then. Three High Princes for you, only six against, and you never fought them all at the same time.
If the High Princes unite against us, we will not be able to stand firm. We'll have no choice but to rescind the proclamation, which will weaken the throne considerably.
Yes, Sarazza, this is going to be a disaster.
Kaladin raised an eyebrow.
You disagree?
Syl moved over toward him as a cluster of fluttering leaves. It was disconcerting to hear her voice coming from such shapes. The others in the room, of course, couldn't see or hear her.
No. This proclamation sounds like a real tempest. I just expected the king to be less, well, whiny.
We need to secure allies. Form a coalition. Sadeas will gather one, and so we counter him with our own.
Dividing the kingdom into two? I don't see how a civil war would serve the throne, particularly one we're unlikely to win.
This could be the end of Alethkar as a kingdom.
Alethkar ended as a kingdom centuries ago. This thing we have created is not Alethkar. Alethkar was justice. We are children wearing our father's cloak.
But, Uncle, at least the kingdom is something. more than it has been in centuries. If we fail here and fracture to 10 warring princedoms, it'll negate everything my father worked for.
This isn't what your father worked for, son. This game on the shattered plains, this nauseating political farce, this isn't what Gavilar envisioned. The Everstorm comes.
What?
Dalinar turned from the window finally, walking to the others, and rested his hand on Navani's shoulder.
We're going to find a way to do this. Or we're going to destroy the kingdom in the process. I won't suffer this charade any longer.
Kaladin, arms folded, tapped one finger against his elbow.
Dalinar acts like he's the king. And everyone else does as well.
Troubling. It was like what Amran had done. Seizing the power he saw before him, even if it wasn't his. Navani looked up at Dalinar, raising her hand to rest on his. She was in on whatever he was planning, judging by that expression. The king wasn't.
You've obviously got a plan, Uncle. Well, out with it. This drama is tiring.
What I really want to do is beat the lot of them senseless. That's what I'd do to new recruits who weren't willing to obey orders.
I think you'll have a hard time spanking obedience into the high princes, Uncle.
You need to disarm them.
All eyes in the room turned toward Kaladin. Brightness Teshev gave him a frown, as if speaking were not Kaladin's right. It probably wasn't.
Soldier, you have a suggestion?
Your pardon, sir. And your pardon, Your Majesty. But if a squad is giving you trouble, the first thing you do is separate its members. Split them up. Stick them in better squads. I don't think you can do that here.
I don't know how we'd break apart the High Princes. I doubt I could stop them from associating with one another. Perhaps if this war were won, I could assign different High Princes different duties, send them off, then work on them individually. But for the time being, we are trapped here.
Well, the second thing you do to troublemakers is you disarm them. They're easier to control if you make them turn in their spears. It's embarrassing. Makes them feel like recruits again. So, can you take their troops away from them, maybe?
We can't, I'm afraid. The soldiers swore allegiance to their light eyes, not to the crown specifically. It's only the high princes who have sworn to the crown. However, you are thinking along the right lines. For the last 2 weeks, I've been trying to decide how to approach this problem. My gut tells me that I need to treat the high princes, the entire light-eyed population of Alethkar, like new recruits in need of discipline.
He came to me and we talked. We can't actually bust the high princes down to a manageable rank as much as Dalinar would like to do just that. Instead, we need to lead them to believe that we're going to take it all from them if they don't shape up.
This proclamation will make them mad. I want them mad. I want them to think about the war, their place here. And I want to remind them of Gavilar's assassination. If I can push them to act more like soldiers, even if it starts with them taking up arms against me, then I might be able to persuade them. I can reason with soldiers. Regardless, a big part of this will involve the threat that I'm going to take away their authority and power if they don't use it correctly. And that begins, as Captain Kaladin suggested, with disarming them.
Disarm the High Princes? What foolishness is this?
It's not foolishness. We can't take their armies from them, but we can do something else. Adolin, I intend to take the lock off your scabbard.
You mean letting me duel again? For real?
Yes. For the longest time, I've forbidden him from important bouts, as the codes prohibit duels of honor between officers at war. More and more, however, I've come to realize that the others don't see themselves as being at war. They're playing a game. It's time to allow Adolin to duel the camp's other shardbearers in official bouts.
So he can humiliate them?
It wouldn't be about humiliation. It would be about depriving them of their shards. The High Princes would have a hard time fighting against us if we controlled all of the shardblades and shardplate in the army. Adolin, I want you to challenge the shardbearers of other High Princes in duels of honor, the prizes being the shards themselves.
They won't agree to it. They'll refuse the bouts.
We'll have to make sure they agree. Find a way to force them or shame them into the fights. I've considered that this would probably be easier if we could ever track down where Wit ran off to.
What happens if the lad loses? This plan seems too unpredictable.
We'll see. This is only one part of what we will do, the smaller part, but also the most visible part. Adolin, everyone tells me how good you are at dueling, and you have pestered me incessantly to relax my prohibition. There are 30 shardbearers in the army, not counting our own. Can you defeat that many men?
Can I?
I'll do it without breaking a sweat, so long as I can start with Sadeus himself.
So he's spoiled and cocky.
No. Sadeus won't accept a personal challenge, though eventually bringing him down is our goal. We start with some of the lesser Shardbearers and work up to him.
As Dalinar indicated, this won't be our entire plan. Hopefully, Adolin's duels won't need to go far. They are meant mostly to inspire worry and fear, to apply pressure to some factions who are working against us. The greater part of what we must do will entail a complex and determined political effort to connect with those who can be swayed to our side.
Navani and I will work to persuade the High Princes of the advantages of a truly unified Alethkar. Though the Stormfather knows, I'm less certain of my political acumen than Adolin is of his dueling. It is what must be. If Adolin is to be the stick, I must be the feather.
There will be assassins, Uncle. I don't think Carl is right. I don't think Alethkar will shatter immediately. The High Princes have come to like the idea of being one kingdom. But they also like their sport, their fun, their gem hearts. So they will send assassins. Quietly, at first, and probably not directly at you or me. Our families. Sadeus and the others will try to hurt us, make us back down. Are you willing to risk your sons on this? How about my mother?
Yes, you are right. I hadn't... But yes, that is how they think.
And you're still willing to go through with this plan?
I have no choice.
Then at least tell me this. What is your end game, Uncle? What is it you want out of all of this? In a year, if we survive this fiasco, what do you want us to be?
I'll have us be what we were before, son. A kingdom that can stand through storms. A kingdom that is a light and not a darkness. I will have a truly unified Alethkar, with high princes who are loyal and just. I'll have more than that. I'm going to refound the Knights Radiant.
Kaladin nearly dropped his spear in shock. Fortunately, nobody was watching him. They were leaping to their feet, staring at Dalinar.
The Radiants? Are you mad? You're going to try and rebuild a sect of traitors who gave us over to the Voidbringers.
The rest of this sounds good, Father. I know you think about the Radiants a lot, but you see them differently than everyone else. It won't go well if you announce that you want to emulate them.
People are wrong about them. And even if they are not, the original Radiants, the ones instituted by the Heralds, are something even the Vorin Church admits were once moral and just. We'll need to remind people that the Knights Radiant, as an order, stood for something grand. If they hadn't, then they wouldn't have been able to fall as the stories claimed they did.
But why? What is the point?
It is what I must do. I'm not completely certain why yet, only that I've been instructed to do it. As a protection and a preparation for what is coming. A storm of some sort. Perhaps it is as simple as the other High Princes turning against us. I doubt that, but perhaps.
Father, this is all well and good, and maybe you can change people's perception of the Radiance, but Ishar's soul, Father, they could do things we cannot. Simply naming someone a Radiant won't give them fanciful powers like in the stories.
The Radiants were about more than what they could do. They were about an ideal. The kind of ideal we're lacking these days. We may not be able to reach for the ancient surge bindings, the powers they had. But we can seek to emulate the Radiants in other ways. I am set on this. Do not try to dissuade me.
The others did not seem convinced. Kaladin narrowed his eyes.
Does Dalinar know about my powers?
The meeting moved on to more mundane topics, such as how to maneuver Shardbearers into facing Adolin, and how to step up patrols of the surrounding area. Dalinar considered making the war camp safe to be a prerequisite for what he was attempting. When the meeting finally ended, most people inside departing to carry out orders, Kaladin was still considering what Dalinar had said about the Radiants. The man hadn't realized it, but he'd been very accurate. The Knights Radiant did have ideals, and they called them that very thing. The five ideals, the immortal words.
Life before death, strength before weakness, journey before destination.
Those words made up the first ideal in its entirety. He had only an inkling of what it meant, but his ignorance hadn't stopped him from figuring out the second ideal of the Windrunners, the oath to protect those who could not protect themselves. Syl wouldn't tell him the other three. She said he would know them when he needed to, or he wouldn't, and would not progress.
Do I want to progress? To become what? A member of the Knights Radiant?
Kaladin hadn't asked for someone else's ideals to rule his life. He just wanted to survive. Now, somehow, he was headed straight down a path that no man had trod in centuries, potentially becoming something that people across Roshar would hate or revere.
So much attention.
Soldier?
Sir?
My nephew was right. The others might try to hurt my family. It's how they think. I'm going to need guard details on the Vani and my sons at all times. Your best men.
I've got about 24 of those, sir. That's not enough for full guard details running all day protecting all 4 of you. I should have more men trained before too long, but putting a spear in the hands of a bridgeman does not make him a soldier, let alone a good bodyguard.
Dalinar nodded, looking troubled. He rubbed his chin.
Sir?
Your force isn't the only one stretched thin in this war camp, soldier. I lost a lot of men to Sadius's betrayal. Very good men. Now I have a deadline. Just over 60 days.
Kaladin felt a chill. The High Prince was taking the number found scrawled on his wall very seriously.
Captain, I need every able-bodied man I can get. I need to be training them, rebuilding my army, preparing for the storm. I need them assaulting plateaus, clashing with the Pashendi to get battle experience.
You promised that my men wouldn't be required to fight on plateau runs.
I'll keep that promise. But there are 250 soldiers in the King's Guard. They include some of my last remaining battle-ready officers, and I will need to put them in charge of the new recruits.
I'm not just going to have to watch over your family, am I? You're implying you want to turn over guarding the King to me as well.
Yes. Slowly, but yes. I need those soldiers. Beyond that, maintaining 2 separate guard forces seems like a mistake to me. I feel that your men, considering your background, are the least likely to include spies from my enemies. You should know that a while back, there may have been an attempt on the King's life. I still haven't figured out who was behind it, but I worry that some of his guards may have been involved.
What happened?
Elokar and I hunted a chasm fiend. During that hunt, at a time of stress, the King's plate came close to failing. We found that many of the gemstones powering it had likely been replaced with ones that were flawed, making them crack under stress.
I don't know much of plate, sir. Could they have just broken on their own without sabotage?
Possible, but unlikely. I want your men to take shifts guarding the palace and the king, alternating with some of the king's guard to get you familiar with him and the palace. It might also help your men learn from the more experienced guards. At the same time, I'm going to start siphoning off the officers from his guard to train soldiers in my army. Over the next few weeks, we'll merge your group and the King's Guard into one. You'll be in charge. Once you've trained bridgemen from those other crews well enough, we'll replace soldiers in the guard with your men and move the soldiers to my army. Can you do this, soldier?
Yes, sir, I can.
Good.
Sir, a suggestion. You said you're going to expand patrols outside the war camps, trying to police the hills around the Shattered Plains?
Yes. The number of bandits out there is embarrassing. This is Alethi land now. It needs to follow Alethi laws.
I have 1,000 men I need to train. If I could patrol them out there, it might help them feel like soldiers. I could use a large enough force that it sends a message to the bandits, maybe making them withdraw. But my men won't need to see much combat.
Good. General Kahl had been in command of patrol duty, but he's now my most senior commander, and will be needed for other things. Train your men. Our goal will eventually be to have your 1,000 doing real roadway patrols between here, Alethkar, and the ports to the south and east. I'll want scouting teams, watching for signs of bandit camps and searching out caravans that have been attacked. I need numbers on how much activity is out there and just how dangerous it is.
I'll see to it personally, sir.
Good.
Dalinar walked from the chamber, clasping his hands behind him as if lost in thought. Moash, Eth, and Mart fell in after him, as ordered by Kaladin. He'd have 2 men with Dalinar at all times, 3 if he could manage it. He'd once hoped to expand that to 4 or 5, but storms, with so many to watch over now, that was going to be impossible.
Who is this man?
He ran a good camp. You could judge a man, and Kaladin did, by the men who followed him. But a tyrant could have a good camp with disciplined soldiers. This man, Dalinar Kolin, had helped unite Alethkar, and had done so by wading through blood. Now he spoke like a king, even when the king himself was in the room.
He wants to rebuild the Knights Radiant.
That wasn't something Dalinar Kolin could accomplish through simple force of will.
Unless he has help.